Today is Memorial Day, and we want to bring a message to you that I think will be of value to all of us as we consider what Christ has done for us and how we, in fact, should live our lives, remembering a few things, but also forgetting a few things. Memorial Day, you're going to gather around the Barbie somewhere tomorrow and have yourself a great time, and I think that's a wonderful opportunity. Memorial Day, that was one of those days that we remember the dead. We don't remember the living. We don't remember the wars that have taken place, other than the fact we are honoring the dead today because those have given a great sacrifice. Those have given everything that you and I might be able to meet here this morning with freedom, with liberty, to come and enjoy one another, gather around the Word of God, be encouraged and strengthened by it. So I'm glad you're here this morning to be part of all of that. Paul in our scripture that Brother Sam read, Paul in the scripture this morning encourages us to remember a few things that that are very important for us. He brings us to a reality where, you know, sometimes life gets a little busy, doesn't it? And you begin to forget some of the things that are most important. But in this particular instance, Paul bringing us this lesson, this message about remembering a few things and how to forget a few things as well. I'm always always impressed by those people who have a great memory. They're able to remember things that happened 25, 30 years ago, usually our wives, but 35 years ago, they remember all of that. I'm lucky if I can remember what I had for dinner last night or what was on the plate even this morning. So we marvel at those folks that have a great memory. We have things that have been written for us here in the Word of God that are to encourage us, to continue to move us forward, to give us that assurance in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, that Christ is who He is. He has done what He has done, and everyone who receives Him receives the same blessing, the blessing of eternal life. You hearing my voice this morning, if you are of that background, you've been born again, then you recognize a great joy coming your way one day, and you'll be able to experience that. Those here this morning, though, maybe who have not trusted Christ as a Savior, I hope that you'll listen this morning as we bring out the Word of God for us. It seems that at times some people and things in our past seem to have a hold on us. Sometimes we're unable to move forward because we have something that has maybe happened in our past and we kind of latch on to it. It causes us to stumble in a movement forward. And Paul is talking to us this morning, and he's saying that those things that would cause us to stumble about from our past, we should not hang on to those things. We should find a way to let them go. And so he says to us in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." When we have those moments in our past that kind of bring up the memories for us that aren't so good. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe some type of guilt that we carry. Maybe past sins or past mistakes that we've been involved in. Something that that we're not very proud about. But part of our past, thinking upon those things can cause us to miss what God has for us in the days ahead. Maybe it's a memory of a wrong or an abuse suffered from someone else to your life. Maybe they've said something or done something. And as you think about those things, you find yourself kind of stopped in your movement toward growing in Christ. I've often said that every decision has a destination. And if I'm not careful, my decisions of today will make a destination tomorrow, maybe, or even longer down the road, not a pleasant experience. And it's those destinations oftentimes that we think about later on that holds us, keeps us bound up from progressing where God would have us to go. We spend so much time pondering the past hurts. We ponder the insults. We ponder the mistakes. We lose sight of where the Lord is leading us. We miss the opportunities that He provides for us, and also providing a way to help us to avoid the dangers that still lay ahead. Life is a journey that is filled oftentimes with some great things, but oftentimes not so great things as well. And so if I'm not careful, I find myself creating my own assortment of memories that are just not worth thinking about. You ever try driving, concentrating in the rearview mirror? you're going down the road and all of a sudden that mirror catches your eye. And there's cars behind you and you're looking at them and you're so consumed with them back there that you miss what's happening in front of you. That's like texting. I hope you don't text and drive. I hope you're not one of those people there that get so caught up in the moment of the texting that they forget to look ahead. Oftentimes we hold ourselves in bondage by the past by keeping our eyes on what happened before. And Paul's letting us know here in this message, in this piece of scripture, that for me to glare into that rearview mirror is going to cause me to miss on what God has for me in the days ahead. We get so hung up on that stuff sometimes we don't see any way around it. We find ourselves as disciples of Christ allowing the past to invade the present. And our spiritual growth is hindered because of that. So the first encouragement we would want to give you certainly is that you don't keep your eyes fixed on the past. And Paul's what he's saying to us here. He says in Philippians 3:8, he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ, knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, righteousness, which is of God by faith." Beloved, there's only one thing that keeps you or keeps me from moving forward in my walk of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one thing is me. God has designed and planned for your life to be a life of progress, of moving forward in learning how to love him more, in learning how to serve him with greater ability, in learning how to spread a gospel message to the world around us. God has called us to do those things. But if I'm hung up in my past, I'll not find a way to express those to the people around me. If we're going to keep moving forward in our relationship with Christ, number one, we have to do this. We have to put the past behind us. Paul says there's a danger in that. There's a danger in that. Allowing ourselves to linger in the past. It has no value to it. It never changes. Have you ever noticed the past doesn't change? The past is always the past. And every time you go down that road and you start thinking about it, it's the same thought process. It's the same journey you travel. You bring that thing up, you have that thing in your mind and in your heart, and before you know it, you're off and you've worked yourself up into a lather. Bitterness has taken over, anger has taken over, frustration has happened, and you find yourself at the end of it again, just spent, having thought about that past. It's valueless to keep going down that road. You know, remembering my greatest accomplishments can quickly become stumbling blocks to the future. As I think about those things that have been great in my life, it stops me from saying, okay, that was wonderful, now let's move forward. Thinking about my failures is the same thing. Those failures can keep me stumbled up as well. Thinking that somehow I'll never be any better than that. Thinking somehow I'll never be able to find my way into a better relationship with the Lord or with those people around me. We find ourselves being held up together. I have a t-shirt that I used to wear a lot, and it simply said on it, "The older I get, the better I was." You know, and you know, sometimes you need a little bit of encouragement, you know, so the older I get, the better I was. And but you realize that if you stay there too long, it's just not true. It's just not true. The danger of living in the past is that you'll never experience the future that God has for you. And that's probably the greatest danger for the believer. As you think about it, God has a great plan for your life. He has a plan to take you to do things in and through you that you've not even thought about yet. But God has worked all of that out in each life that is his, and he's found a way to bring that plan together. Together as a body of Christ, the one enhancing or encouraging the other. God has given us that ability to be somebody special to somebody else in our life. And we must find a way, though, to keep moving along. Being overly confident because of past performance is a mighty leveler of humility. Getting to think that somehow we are all of that in a bag of chips because we hang out in our back in our past brings us to a point of realizing a great leveler, the leveler of humility. Humility is one of those things that I think encourages us and should encourage us. We found a way that if we have that humility in our lives, then Christ is certainly glorified. Proverbs 16:19 says, "Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Or how about James 4:10? "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." You see, I don't have to stay in the past to get my encouragement. I don't have to stay in the past to get my pat on the back. God wants to create in me a life that honors him, glorifies him, and is a benefit to those around me. And that's all of our responsibilities this morning. Someone once said, "Nothing is more ruinous to progress than supposed success." And I would agree with that. What would happen if you had a great Monday? You go to work, you wake up tomorrow morning, the birds are chirping, the sun is coming up, the coffee is smelling perfect. I mean, everything is just great. You hop in your car, you go to work, you didn't hit the first stoplight, nobody cut you off. It was one of those amazing days. You got to work 10 minutes early, but you were happy about that. Because as soon as you walked in the door, the boss gave you a raise. Huh? Boss gave you a raise. And you say, "Man, this is a great day," and you work all day long, and come the end of the day, same thing, all the way home, not a stoplight, nothing. And you say, "I had such a great day today, what's the sense of going to work the rest of the week?" You know, just wouldn't work that way. Paul is saying that we're going to have those great days, but don't let those be the days, don't let those be the rule that causes us to either move or not move forward. Because there is a tomorrow, there is a Tuesday in our week as well as a Monday. And each day is another opportunity to continue to love the Lord Jesus Christ and to move forward. But if I want to allow myself to experience forgetting the past, then I will suffer and I will struggle. We find in John 10:10, speaks about the abundant life. It says that the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. "I am come," Jesus said, "that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." I think we could do, without any damage at all to the Scripture, take that word thief and then look at that for just a moment. I think it could be likened to our past baggages, to those things that are the sinful past, filled with unforgiveness and bitterness. Paul says, that's why he says, forgetting those things which are behind. There is a freedom that is available to every single believer in Christ, a freedom of a great day ahead. But I've got to learn, as Paul says, to forget the things of the past, whether they were exciting things of great value in the past or things that were just horrible things of no value in the past. He says to move on from those things. Don't let the failures of the past haunt you. Don't let the failures of the past cause you to forget your present and, more importantly, the future that God has for you. This one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. See, we must ask the Lord to change our thinking, to help us in our times when we get stuck on those things. We are more than conquerors, he says in Romans chapter 8. We have the ability to do some pretty amazing things if we'll let the past go behind us. The second thing we see is that we are to keep moving forward. If I'm going to progress in the Lord, then I need to keep moving forward. We find this in verses 12 through 14, actually the context of the message, really. See, rather than sitting still or slipping backwards, Paul is showing us that he was only interested in forward progress. When I was a kid growing up and had my parents' car, so I wasn't buying the tires, you know. I like to go out and just kind of spin the tires, you know. A lot of smoke, you know, coming up there and, you know, squeal around. They always look good for the girls, you know, as they were standing on the corner. Oh, look at him, you know. I enjoyed the squealing of the tires. But I wasn't paying for those tires, and so it didn't bother me so much. But as I got older, what I recognize is I did not like sitting around spinning my wheels. I didn't like just getting along to get along. I wanted to be doing something that was moving in a right direction. I didn't want to be wasting my time with things. And Paul says that we shouldn't be wasting our time. We should actively think about keeping this movement forward. He said nothing's going to stop him or hinder him from that taking place. I mean, who wants to go backwards in their life? Who wants to fall back? You know, that Proverbs verse number 26, verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Why would I want to go back to something that has had no value for me? Why do I want to go back to something that was just less than what God's best is for my life? Why would I want to do that? And yet, unfortunately, many times that's exactly what we do. We settle for that second best. We settle for the status quo. We settle for those things that are just of no value later on. Paul has a verb uses for this press toward. It's a hunting term with the idea of catching up with whatever you're chasing. And that's a great term to have. I remember I was watching on TV the end of a marathon race. You know, a marathon race is 26.2 miles, I think it is. I don't know why anybody would I wouldn't want to run 0.2 miles, let alone 26 miles. But nonetheless, there are people out there. You may be a runner. You may be hearing my voice today, and you're a runner. I was watching this race on TV, and it was well past the end of the race. I mean, it was dark. You know, they had a light on so people could cross the finish line. And sure enough, here was these two guys coming up on the finish line. And they're both dragging, one helping the other, the other helping the other, trying to get across that finish line. And as they're coming up to that line, you can see they're barely being able to move. And there's a few people around, you know, applauding as they come across the line. They finished the race, is what they're about to do. But what I noticed is that as those two men crossed that line, they leaned into the line. They leaned into it. I mean, they had done all they could do. They had spent themselves. They were certainly not first in the race. They were absolute dead last in the race. But they leaned into it. And I think that's what Paul is saying to us here. There are times when it's going to be a difficult race. There are times when it's going to be just a struggle just to get to the end of whatever it is you're trying to get to the end of. And Paul says that we are to lean into that. We are to expel ourselves into it right to the very end. Now, the end for you and me ultimately is heaven. And we are, according to Paul, supposed to extend ourselves all the way to that finish line. So when the days are tough, when things are a bother, when it didn't go as you had planned it to go, when somebody else got in the way, whenever it happened, it could be anything. It could be a phone call. It could be sickness. It could be financial. It could be a relational. It could be any number of things that causes your day to be a day that you did not count on. Those are the times when we, as God's children, are supposed to lean into the race. We're not to be defeated as we stand there wondering, why didn't it go as I thought? How come it didn't happen the way I thought it would happen? What did I do wrong? How did it go wrong anyways? Paul says to lean into it, to look at this pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. There may be times when it is a matter of putting one foot in front of the other, just like those two runners. Had they stopped anywhere in that race without putting one foot in front of the other, they would never have crossed that line. They never would have leaned into the finish line. They got the reward. We were in Chicago last week, and they had a race up there at that time. I noticed a number of people walking around with a banner across their neck that says, "I finished." That's the banner I want. I want the banner that says, "I finished. I didn't quit one step short of the goal line. I didn't stop pushing because it got a little tough. I didn't get mad at somebody and just say, you know what, that's it. I'm not going to do any more for Jesus because of what you did, said, or fill in your blank, whatever it is." Why is it that when things don't go right, Jesus is the first one to pay the price? In other words, well, did you see what so-and-so said? That's it. I'm not going back to church. I can't believe the pastor would call me out that way. That's it. I'm not going back to church. I prayed for that raise. I didn't get that raise, Andy. I'm not going back to church. Why is it that Jesus is the first one to get penalized when things don't go the way we think they should go? Beloved, stay in the race. Stay in the race. Don't quit a step or two out from the finish line. Take it all the way to the end. And when you get to the end, lean into it. Let it be your motivation. Let it be what carries you through. Yes, the journey is going to be a struggle, no doubt about that. But God's prepared something for you that is out of this world. It's called heaven. It's called the glory of eternity. Whatever it takes, just don't settle for where you are right now. Don't settle for where you are right now. No, one more step. One more push. One more lean. Don't quit now. It's too close. The third thing we see is this. Stay motivated. Stay motivated. Run for the prize. He says, I press toward the mark. He's constantly bearing down upon the goal. He says, for the prize of the high calling of Christ in, of God in Christ Jesus. His calling and level of commitment, I think we can read here, is so intense that Paul found no time to really relax about his mission. You are on a mission, beloved. We're all on a mission. We all have a responsibility. We are to make disciples. We are to baptize. We are to bring them into the body of Christ, to grow them in the kingdom. This is our responsibility. Every one of us has that. He says to keep moving, the motivation to keep moving. The motivation for you and for me to keep moving is the fact that Jesus Christ has saved you. That's the motivation. It's the motivation. It should be the thing that causes me to push to that line, to recognize that God has died. Jesus has died for me. What more motivation should I ever need or want than that? To know that my sins are forgiven? To know that the debt has been paid? To know that I no longer have to fear the end of this journey, but I look forward to it, knowing that the glories of heaven await me? No, I have reasons to be motivated to continue to give back to God what He has given to me. It was a high calling, he says, of God, or an upward calling that Paul was seeking. Paul is in hot pursuit of Christ-likeness. Now, what is it to be Christ-like? What is that all about? I mean, I live in this world, you live in this world. What is it to be Christ-like? Well, to be like Christ is to forgive others. I mean, if we want to get simple, we can get very simple. Christ-likeness is learning how to forgive. If I want to have a greater testimony in Christ-likeness, maybe I need to learn how to forgive. The one who said something or didn't say something or didn't do something. Forgiveness is Christ-likeness. To be like Christ is to love the hard to love. Maybe you're hard to love. Did you ever think of that? And someone's extending grace to you because you're hard to love. And yet they're in their Christ-likeness, they're learning how to love you. They're learning how to forgive you. They're learning how to extend to you that opportunity to recognize something greater than what they're living. We find that Christ-likeness is a motivation for us. I should experience, or I should look forward to, the opportunity to live in Christ-likeness because of the great cost it was to bring salvation to me. When Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, Saul, we remember his name, we find that Saul was apprehended by Christ. And that word apprehend means to grab hold of. He was apprehended. When you were on your Damascus road, you were apprehended by Christ. You were caught by Him. And so, in turn, my motivation is to live grateful that I was apprehended by Christ. And so my days are not days of drudgery. My days are not days of futile attempts. No, my days are filled with that mindset that I belong to Christ and that He belongs to me. My motivation then is to continue to be Christ-like. We should think about that relationship when the days are hard, when the journey is a little bit tough. Think about those motivations. So how can we find the kind of motivation to keep pressing on, running the race to win? Well, I think by getting hold of Jesus. Amos 5:4 says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek me, and ye shall live." And friend, you may be hearing my voice, and you're uncertain about any of what I just said, but I want you to know that Jesus is seeking for you. He wants you. He can grab hold of you, but you have to recognize that he's reaching for you. And then you take him, and you trust him, and you become one of his. We need to recognize how valuable the prize is that we've been given. The fourth and last thing we see is this. Live up to what you have already attained. Live up to what you have already attained. Verses 15 and 16 we read in the scripture says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Brethren, 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." It is of vital importance. Let's call it an imperative. It's an imperative that our walk matches our talk. That our lives are actually what we want people to believe they are. That we're able to, with a clear conscience, an understanding of what has been done for me, that I walk the walk that Christ has given to me with honesty, without hypocrisy. To live my life as Christ would have me to live my life is the way that I attain. The way I attain a greater motivation. It's the way I attain an assurance in my life. Someone says, "I'm not sure I'm saved." My first question is, what are you doing? How are you living your life? How are you handling the issues that come your way? "Wow, I can't believe that's happening in my life. Oh, I thought this Jesus thing would work." This Jesus thing will work if my life is showing a life of one who has received, who's been laid hold upon by Jesus. The opportunity that we all have to live our lives pleasing unto the Lord is something we should consider every day of our life. Something we should look forward to. We never want to be known as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Never want to have all that, you know, all the clouds with no rain. No, we want to be able to be recognized as someone who understands the gift we've been given, but also the responsibility we've been given to live out that gift. God doesn't ask us to do anything that he's not equipped us to do. He's given you everything you need to live the life he's asked you to live. The decision is whether you'll take that or not. The decision is, will you live the life that Jesus has called you to live? "Well, Brother Dibble, you have no idea how hard it is to live in my area or in my family." Or, friend, beloved, listen. Yes, that's part of it. But Jesus says that if I will listen, if I will bring myself to him, he will show himself through me. And that's what we need in our lives today. Have you received God's love? Do you possess God's love? Then let's live forgiven and walk in forgiveness. If you have received love, give love. If you receive God's peace, then live in peace. It's crazy sometimes. People just absolutely off the walls over things that really aren't worth getting too worked up about. But nonetheless, sometimes that's how they live their lives. We need to be careful not to fall into the error of forgetting the basics. And the basics, simple. Mark 12, is one reference for it, verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And your neighbor. And your neighbor. You see, living this life, enjoying the benefits that God has for us, is not difficult to do. The difficult part is making the decision to do so. To say, yes, I recognize in my life I need to surrender myself to Christ. And this is what Paul is doing. He's surrendering himself fully, totally, 100%, without any type of holdback at all. Paul is saying God will do everything he's promised to do for you. But we must be obedient to what God has already done for us. And in that we find great, great hope. And let me close it here. If we are to experience relentless progress, as Paul has described to us, then we need to keep pressing on in our relationship with Jesus. We need to keep seeking Him to know more and more about Him. Some folks, having been saved for a number of years, they've kind of sat back and just kind of coasting along. Yeah, I was saved 25, 30 years ago. I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to sing in the choir. I used to usher. I used to deek. I used to do a lot of things. But you know what? I'm just kind of tired right now. We must make it our goal to know Him better and better each day. To know Him more. So are you living up to the truth that you know? Are you living up to what you already know about Christ? Are you living up to that truth? If not, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from taking that next step and leaning into that line? What's stopping you from being that person that kind of rises above the average and does more than just a reasonable service, but leans into the line? Let's ask God to help us to be all He wants us to be as we seek to know Him better, to serve Him better, and to show Him more openly to those around us. Let's be that people. Let's be those leaning into the line every single day and trust God for the outcome of that. Amen? Father, we're grateful this morning for the opportunity just to share a few moments. And Lord, would you just, as we've shared, Father, would you just open our hearts and let us, Father, recognize and see how you want to use that in our lives this day. We'll give you glory for all of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.